this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. Hey, if you've ever wanted to grow your network, play up a level in life, and develop a business or career where you get to make money with friends, then you're going to love this epic interview. It's a game changer where once again I visit the Ocean View offices of my friend Jason Capital down in Newport Beach, California. Now, this young man and I, we go toe to toe trying to outdo one another, delivering gold nugget after gold nugget on this show. Hey, this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio. And you'll want to listen to this epic episode at least twice, if not three times or more. Early to Rise Radio is brought to you by my book, The Perfect Day Formula. It's about how to own your day and control your life. You can grab your free copy at freeperfectdaybook.com or download the audiobook from Amazon so that you can keep the momentum and motivation going. Now, here's what you're going to discover on this episode. You're going to find out how to grow your network, even if you are shy. You are also going to discover the truth about being introverted and extroverted and the pros and cons of each. And finally, how I went from being a poor, broke, struggling farm boy to having a Rolodex of millionaires and billionaires.
Hey, what's going on? It's Jason Capital, America's high income expert here from Team Capital HQ Newport Beach. And I am with my man, Craig Valentine, with a strong handshake, author.
High status.
Best-selling author of The Perfect Day Formula, one of the best networkers on the planet, and a whole host of other awesome things. Some billionaires, some of the smartest people on the planet, they go to this man for advice. So we're going to have a really fun time doing. What we're going to do is not going to be an interview. It's going to be an open format discussion of, Craig, what's working for you right now? What are the ways that you have been able to infiltrate and connect with such successful people in such a short amount of time? And more importantly, how can everyone watching use this information at home so they can connect with millionaires and billionaires, even if they think they have nothing to offer them right now?
Oh, my gosh. It's so much easier than you think. It is absolutely amazing. So right before this, on one of my posts on Instagram, I was mentioning, you know, the power of people. And there was a gentleman who posted underneath in the comments, and he said, every year my social circle gets smaller. And I couldn't believe that. I mean, it actually hurts when I hear that because, I mean, that makes you feel like, you know, it's getting lonelier and more negative. And every year, I'm pretty sure that my social circle doubles. You know, it's growing rapidly with amazing people. And remember, I used to be in the introvert shoebox. I used to, you know, call myself an introvert. I used to have all these excuses. But even back when I was, I had a pretty significant network. And you can grow it rapidly. And it's all about the giving. And it's all about finding a way to be of value to people. And you can be, even if you think you're starting with nothing. Oh, man, you got gold to mine. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. And that's exactly true, because you were starting off, you were more of an introvert. Now, do you think that... I've never heard your take on this. Do you think introvert, extrovert is a real thing? Do you think it's more childhood conditioning? Can it be changed? Obviously, you have completely, you know, you've expanded significantly in your social abilities. What's your take on it?
Yeah, everything is a learnable skill. And so networking, socializing, everything is within your control to improve. So yesterday I spoke at another gentleman's event, and I just got a message right before this about somebody saying, hey, you were an amazing speaker, one of the best speakers I've ever heard. And what you'll notice is I can control the duration of each word that I have so that I never say or ah, and you flow naturally between the next words, and you can pick it up and you can pull it back. And it's all because I did 185 podcasts. So learnable skill.
Yes.
Learnable skill, just like having conversations is a learnable skill. You've been teaching that for years, you know?
Yes.
And one thing that I spoke about at High Status Summit, which people were messaging me about the next couple of days, was the challenge not to use your phone in an elevator. And I actually had this one really amazing story from this woman that attended your event with her boyfriend about how she was in a hospital and an older gentleman walked into the elevator and she started a conversation because she had no phone. And when anybody comes in the elevator, my rule is you greet them, you say good morning, good afternoon, how are you? Next thing you know, they're having a conversation. He's lost in the hospital. She walks him around. They eventually find the way to his wife, who's waiting for him. I mean, that's real living. And so that's the type of connection that you can make when you're not buried in your phone. But, I mean, that's obviously something that's day-to-day. We want to talk about how we can do it at a higher level, but you can do it. You can break out of any introverted shell. You can become a ladies' man. You can do anything you want. You become an amazing speaker.
All of it.
All of it.
All of it.
You can have everything.
Yeah, I firmly believe that introvert, extrovert is just bullshit. Like, there's no hard science to prove that this is how your brain is and you can't change. Everything we see about neuroplasticity just shows you can change. You can grow and you can... They're just labels. They're boxes we put ourselves in. And, of course, once you're in a box, if you think there's no way out, you're going to stay there, right? It's realizing that there is no box. There is no label. You are... And the thing is, everyone who's introverted, you put them in the right situation. Even if you think right now you're an introvert, if I put you in the right situation with people you want to talk to and you're comfortable, all of a sudden we can't get you to shut the fuck up. Right? So it's really like, we understand sometimes you're social, sometimes you're not. It's more a state than it is introvert, extrovert. And I like what you said about, I don't know if you saw it, but in our sales room over there, I put a giant sign up next to the closers and it says, means don't trust me, I'm not an expert. That's what it says. Because I was walking by and I hear them in between the scripts and they're like, and they put these, and it just infuriated me. And I'm like, I want everyone here to never say the word again. Think about every time you say you just lost a sale.
Ums are not for closers.
I like that. Coffee is, but not ums.
Right. So let's go back to the introvert or extrovert thing, because this is really interesting. Is I've polled two large audiences now during that presentation, the network infiltration presentation, and I would say 60 to 70% of people in the room, even though they were high performers, label themselves as introvert, which is very interesting. Mm. Very, very interesting. And I think it is just a way out. It's a way out because you are exactly right. You put everyone, even me back in the day, social anxiety, introversion, whatever, you put me in the right room and I can't shut up, right?
Yes.
And so that is something learnable skill. Another thing that's a learnable skill, and I talked about this at High Status Summit, is tonality. Mm. And I absolutely love tonality now, you know, since you've been speaking about it for so long, Jordan Belfort talking about it. And what I do is I really have to make sure that my voice is the deeper voice that it can be, rather than the really high and excited, you know, whiny voice.
Low status voice, yeah.
My sister's stepson calls that my motivational voice. Mm. And I don't like to teach in my motivational voice because it doesn't have high status. Mm. And I mean, your voice is high status, Bedros's voice is high status, and Joel Marion's is high status. And somebody who was at the mastermind that I spoke at yesterday was asking me, how do you do that? And I was trying to explain it, but a vocal coach will be able to train you to have a high status voice.
Sure.
Absolutely. And for me, I just kind of explain it as like talking from the back, deep throat, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
Porn people would say. But
get your mind out of the gutter.
Yeah. Right. And so what you're doing there is just making sure that you're not speaking nasally from the top of your mouth, but deepening the voice and talking from down here. Now, one other thing, if you go to a bar and you're talking to a lot of girls or a lot of guys, you know, because I know there's some females watching my Instagram Live, and the next day you're like, oh my goodness, my voice, my throat is so sore. It's because you're talking in your high-pitched voice, but not your status voice. Your status voice is from down here, and you won't have that sore throat.
It comes from your diaphragm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 100%. In fact, at the summit and in our mastermind, I take everyone through, because having a deep, resonating voice, and so it's, you got to have the deep voice, and it comes from the right cadence and all the right, excuse me, the right depth. But you also have to master the tonality. And there's a lot of stuff with tonality. There's, you know, I have a course where I teach nine different tonalities to create different, and each one creates a different emotion in the person listening. If you want them, the scarcity tonality, like Belfort talks about, that's one. There's another one, if you want people to pay more attention, all of a sudden you can raise your voice just for a second, just to draw them in. And there's a lot of ways to do it. But the other one is, you can actually make your voice significantly deeper without really doing anything, without having, you don't need years of practice. It's, what happens is, if we're too tight here in our throat, in our chest, in our neck, in this area here, if we're too tight, then the diaphragm can't drop. And when the diaphragm can't drop, that means you can't pull more air down there and you can't get as deep of a voice. So what we have to do is we have to relax all this and open this up with some deep mouth breathing, bioenergetic stuff, where we're going to a bow, and I'm not going to do it in a suit, but your mouth, you're It's, and your arms are back. And you really, you open up and you, a few minutes of deep breathing, some grounding exercises. But in 10 minutes, I've had guys go from their voices up here to they're like right here. And in our mastermind, they get like, one of my kids, Sam Robson, he goes, what did you just do to my voice? Like he can't believe it.
Mike Tyson is signing up for this like right now.
Well, okay. Unfortunately, I'll have to upsell you and refer Mike Tyson to someone else for Lisp training because I don't have anything for that. I can't help you there.
But you know, the reason why we talk about this is, and the, you know, the strong handshake is because of that 2 second rule that I talked about at your high status, is that Harvard research shows that within 2 to 3 seconds, people judge you. Mm. And so the communication, 58% of it is visual. Visual, how you look. You have to go in there looking great. And then it's vocal, not what you say, but vocal, how it's portrayed in tonality. And so if you want to make great high status connections, you want to infiltrate networks in a good way and meet great people, wealthy peoples, significant influential people, is you want to come off strong. You got to have like a great introduction or else you have a position of weakness going into the entire meeting. And you have to have a position of strength, not a position of weakness. You got to put yourself in the right spot.
100%. There. Because high status people don't want to connect with low status people. They want to connect with other high status people. And that doesn't mean you have to drive a Ferrari and wear, you know, Louis Vuitton belts. And that's not what it means. It's about the sub communications. You're communicating your status, not with what you wear, but with your body language, with your tonality, with your energy, with your eye contact. These are the things that people are looking for. And one thing with you, Craig, is you are a world-class networker. You truly, truly are. You are connected to all kinds of incredibly influential entrepreneurs and business owners and CEOs and thought leaders and authors and really everyone who's successful today. For the most part, they know Craig Ballantyne and Craig Ballantyne knows them. And it wasn't always this way for you. So what I'm curious about, if I want to start getting into the nitty gritty here, is how do you do this? Where does it start? If someone's out there and they want to start connecting because they know network equals net worth, where's the place to begin?
Two words, critical credibility. Critical credibility is what launched my career. And I was fortunate. I mean, I was working hard. I was a graduate student at a university in Canada, doing my exercise physiology master's degree. And I really wanted to write. I wanted to build this online business writing. And I got lucky. Now, I got lucky because I worked hard, and hard work meets opportunity equals luck, right? And I was able to write for Men's Health magazine. And as soon as I had that critical credibility, I could introduce myself as, hey, Craig Ballantyne from Men's Health Magazine, or Craig Ballantyne, I'm a contributor to Men's Health Magazine. Now I could go immediately leapfrog, just like this old gentleman, Robert Ringer, talks about winning through intimidation. He talks about leapfrogging. You know, you don't climb the ladder of success, you leapfrog it. And I was able to go to the top of the top in the industry that I was in at the time, which was strength and conditioning. And I would interview the top strength and conditioning coaches because, hey, this is Craig Ballantyne, contributor to Men's Health magazine. I had so much weight behind it. Now, you don't have to write for a massive magazine. You just need to find that gold. You need to mine the gold in your relationships, in your experience. What do you have that allows you to come into the situation, the encounter, the meeting, the whatever it is, with that slight position of strength, with that slight differentiation, so that you're different than everybody else. And it's about showing up differently. It's about doing the research, doing the homework, and it's about having that high status from the get-go. And when you do that, that is massive, massively transformational, so that you can be able to go from somebody who most people looking at you walking down the street, it's just, you know, another person, to being able to go into almost any situation being with the other person, like, excited to meet you.
There's an old NLP term, which is response potential. And that's really what it does. So if you have no credibility and you come in, the other person, the response potential is very low. But all of a sudden, if they're like, wait, you name drop, I'm connected to this person, I contributed to this magazine, I have access to this database, that all of a sudden, each one of these things increase the potential of the ability of the other person to respond. You go from a 10% response rate to a 90% response rate on the reach out, on the email, the DM, whatever it is. So what if someone, is it just name dropping? Is that one way to get this critical credibility? What are some maneuvers or things that people want to focus on to increase that critical credibility?
Well, I'll give one resource that everybody should read. It's Keith Ferrazzi's Never Eat Alone. Yes. It's a great book. And there's one line in the book that if you remember nothing else from the book, it's this. If you want to get connected with people, ease their pain, help their kids. Ease their pain, help their kids. It's so simple. I mean, that's really how you grow any relationship in life. You take care of them. You add value to their life. And so what you need to do in a classy way, obviously not rummaging through their garbage or anything, but figure out what is the pain of this individual. You know, it might be a billionaire who has low back pain, and you come along and you're able to help that billionaire with their low back pain. All of a sudden, you're a valued, trusted resource to that individual. It can be something as simple as that. For example, recently I interviewed Ed Mylett. Ed Mylett has 600,000, maybe 800,000 followers on Instagram. He's growing so fast now. And I interviewed him at Bedros' headquarters. We were doing a second show for the Empire podcast because Bedros had already interviewed him. And I made sure that I studied Ed Mylett's interviews with other people so much that I was like, I'm going to ask him a question he has never been asked before in his life. Sure enough, third question, and I asked him a question. He's like, and he has an amazing tonality. He talks like Hulk Hogan. He goes, brother, nobody has ever asked me that question before in my life. Not on a podcast, not even in my personal life.
Yeah.
And it was a real breakthrough moment because you want to build rapport with people, obviously, but it's not fake rapport. I mean, it was meaningful heart-to-heart rapport. And one thing that you did earlier is you said, Craig, and I am one of those people who absolutely love it when people say my name. And that is a way to build that connection. Because one reason is because in high school, no one said my name. They all called me Bally, and I hated it. I hated it. And so to hear anyone say my name, Craig, it was just, it's like a breath of fresh air. So, you know, stuff like that is really important to know.
Very important, yeah.
It's funny. I walked in, one of your team members gave me a bag of walnuts because he probably saw, like, my Instagram story about how I basically eat protein bars, walnuts, and, like, fruits and vegetables. Like, I'm a very simple person. But, you know, it's like, okay, you know, he knows something about me. And so back to the Ed Mylett thing is that he and I share something.
Yes.
And so when you have an opportunity to connect with somebody, look for that similarities. So Ed Mylett's father was an alcoholic until age 15. My father was an alcoholic until the day he died. He drank himself to death. Now, imagine me. What's the first thing that goes, what do you think was the first thing that went through my mind when I heard that?
Well, obviously the connection, you want to know what was it like for you growing up, Ed, compared to how it was for me. You want to find the similarities.
Yeah. I wanted to find out how the heck he stopped.
Mm.
Because if, you know, for anybody watching, you know, I hope that you don't have any alcoholics in your family, but if you do, you know one thing, nobody's stopping them. Yet Ed Mylett, his father stopped at age 15. For a man to stop drinking, for a man to give up any addiction is, I mean, that's borderline miraculous.
Yes.
And that's all I wanted to know. And he said, that's when he said, brother, nobody's ever asked me that before in my life. But it was because I was so intellectually curious about something that was so important to me and it was so important to him that we had that level of connection.
Yeah, and I'm sure you could see the bond or rapport between you guys instantly go up the minute he felt that and he heard that.
Right, because he was so excited to share that story. First of all, it had never been told before, so it's going to be massive transformational value for everybody watching.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, it's something that I'm sure he has great pride. You know, for your father to do something like that. I mean, first of all, he's very proud of his father. His father's, you know, fighting through some illness now, and he's very proud of him for that. But he's also very proud of him for that decision that he made years ago. Mm-hmm. And then that decision led to so many other important things in Ed's life, including him having the opportunity to grow wealthy. And he's actually super, super proud of his father, who has gone to 4 Alcoholics Anonymous meetings per week for the last 32 years.
Wow.
Hasn't missed a week. And so he never says that he's, you know, done with drinking. He's like, I'm always fighting every day. Like, he hasn't had a drink since then, but he is so into it. So it's a fascinating, fascinating story for all of that. And then, you know, there's a couple other things I want to mention with that relationship.
Please.
So first of all, the introduction was a high status introduction from Bedros. And it was a long introduction. One thing you want to do is not make a low status introduction, which is like, Jason, you need to meet Craig. Craig, you need to meet Jason. I'll let the two of you take it from here. Don't ever do that. It's the worst introduction you can make. Why? because now you got to work hard. Mm-hmm. You got to work. Like, who is this guy? I got to go Google him. I got to go to and see what his LinkedIn is. You're making me do the work. It's like asking, how can I help you? Mm-hmm. I don't know how you can help me. Why are you asking me?
You can stop asking me how you can help
right.
me.
Right. Yeah. That's your job, to go into any relationship knowing how you can help that person. So Bedros wrote two paragraphs, a long paragraph on how Ed, this is your background. You need to meet Craig. Craig, this is Craig's background. You need to meet Ed. You two, not only did he say you guys need to know each other, but you need to podcast. So he gave us a way for us to continue the conversation rather than, even with good introduction, it's still like that awkward, okay, what do we do now sort
right.
of thing.
Right.
So that's a great introduction. Really, really play up the value of individuals. Make sure that the person that you're introducing knows, like, it's specific value to you.
Yes.
Okay, I want to meet this person. What next?
Yeah.
And vice versa. So that was the first thing. That allowed us to get off to a strong start.
Yep.
And then afterwards, it's how can, you know, Ed and I have been like almost one-upping each other and how we can add value to one another. You know, he's want me on his podcast and you know, there was one thing that he mentioned he was struggling with and I was like, I sent him a couple apps for it and it was just like, when you leave, you continue to add value to the person. Don't ask for anything, but add value for it. And that builds the relationship. So, I mean, it's also simple. It's just patience, adding value, and making sure that there's great communication and expectation.
Yeah. Well, also what I'm not hearing is the magic 3-sentence email to send to someone to instantly make them want to respond to you and connect with you.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's not what this is about at all, right? If you want to connect with really high status people or millionaires or billionaires or super influencers, there's no magic words you can say. It's about everything you're saying here. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Although there is one or two things that I learned from Keith Ferrazzi's book, which I thought was really interesting. And it was, if you want to connect with somebody, call or email them right before they start their workday or right at the end of their workday. Mm. Because that is when they are most likely to be checking communication. Mm-hmm. And so let's say you know that billionaire Joe goes into his law office at 9 o'clock, you call him at 8:55, you probably have a better chance than if you called him at 10 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really interesting. And if you want to call anything a hack for starting a relationship. Now, that doesn't do any good if you've got nothing to say to them and this, that, and the other thing.
Right.
But it's a great place to have a little extra value, which is another nugget I took from that book.
Gotcha. And also something I'm hearing here is that a lot of people, when they, listen, if you want to connect with someone, clearly there's a reason why you want to connect with them. There's something, some self-interest reason. You want something. And that's okay. You're allowed to want whatever you want. That's great. But what I'm hearing is when you go to connect with these people, you put a pause on what you want so you can fill the goodwill bank with as much as you can to help them first. And this is like leading with the giving hand. Is that a key factor in doing all this?
Oh my God, it's amazing that you brought that up, because yesterday, so at High Status Summit, I did this exercise. And then yesterday I did this exercise as well for another mastermind. I call this the dream team exercise. And I say, let's just keep it simple. What you're going to do is write down 3 names on the right-hand side of the paper. So not on the left-hand side, that's where most people would write them down, but on the right-hand side of the paper. So let's say you wanna meet somebody who's really high in your industry. Okay, great. Now here's the thing. What's the reason why you wanna meet them? Because a lot of people will say, I wanna meet this celebrity. Why do you wanna meet them? Well, I just really like their movies or their books, or you know, they're really famous. That's not a good reason. So I'm not gonna play the rest of the game with you, because you're gonna get, I could teach you to meet them. I could show you the connections that would get you there, but I wouldn't wanna show that to you, because you'd get there and then it would be awkward. So that's not what it's about. It's about 3 people that would be valuable for you to know with a specific reason. Mm-hmm. And then you have to have a reason for them to wanna meet you, because we'll get to that in a second. But yesterday I did that, and there was one woman in the room, because it was mostly guys, but there was one woman in the room who mentioned she wanted to meet Lori Harder. Lori Harder is a very famous female author, female business coach, really sweet woman. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, why do you want to meet Lori? And the woman said, well, I don't think Lori's helping enough women with or moms with kids. She doesn't talk about it enough. You know, it's really an area of opportunity. And so I said to her, is that a pain for Lori? Because that's what, you know, this woman in the audience was projecting her wants on Lori.
Yes.
And it wasn't thinking, what's Lori's pain or problem? It was, hey, here's my problem that I want Lori to fix.
Yes.
And benefit me. So you have to be really, really careful in your thinking about what the main reason is you want to meet that person, how it's going to be a benefit to them. Now, if you've got a good reason, like let's say, hey, there's Joe Billionaire. He's got low back pain. I can help him with that. And I would love to meet him because I know that I would love to introduce my mentor to this person and there would be value and so on and so forth. Okay, great. We want to meet Joe Billionaire. We have a good reason. Now we write Joe Billionaire's name on the right-hand side of the page and we start playing what I call the 3 degrees of bacon game. So back in the day, back in my days, there was something called the Kevin Bacon 6 degrees of separation. So Kevin Bacon is a guy who used to be in a lot of movies. You can go and Google him if you're young. But in around like 2000, 2005, everyone's saying, oh, that actor is 6 degrees away from Kevin Bacon. You know, George Clooney was in this movie with this person was in this movie. And the next thing you know, all roads led to Kevin Bacon,
yes.
Nowadays, we can accelerate things. We don't need 6 steps to get to a person. So it's really within 3 steps, you can get to anybody.
Okay.
And I use Elon Musk as the ultimate example. Elon Musk, one of the most famous people in the world. A lot of people probably thought like that would have been one of their people, even though they don't, on their dream team, even though there's no real good reason for most of us to meet Elon. But I can get to Elon in 3 steps. First of all, who's close to Elon that I kind of know? A guy named Peter Diamandis. Mm-hmm. Peter Diamandis runs this thing called Abundance 360. If I could prove value to Peter, Peter would introduce me to Elon. Mm-hmm. But first, I need to get to Peter properly, and that is through my friend Joe Polish, who knows a lot of people. So you're really looking for that to build a lot of relationships, obviously, but there's going to be some key nodes in your relationships. Like, you know, you're one in mine, I'm one in yours. Joe Polish, my friend, is a key node in my world.
Yep.
So Joe is one of my coaching clients. I can go to Joe. He knows I provide a lot of value. And we can sit down and go, how can I add value to Peter's life, Peter Diamandis' life? Okay, here's what we're going to do. Now I'm ready to make that connection. And then I write the intro. I write the intro that Joe is going to give to Peter. Because this is a really great tip I learned from Tim Ferriss. Always write your introductions. Always write your own introductions. Don't let someone else introduce you because they won't properly position you. Now, I didn't have any problem with that at High Status because you were doing it. So, I mean, you would have done a better job than myself. But yesterday at an event, I wrote an amazing introduction and had my friend Vince read it. And everyone was like blown away. And about 10 minutes in, I said, you guys know I wrote that introduction, right? And they were like, oh, yeah. So, there was an article that I read and they called it the self-contained forwarding email, the SCFE. Everyone needs a self-contained forwarding email, which is one paragraph about you that you would give to anybody to make an introduction to somebody.
Gotcha.
All right. So always have that. It's like it should be in your pocketbook.
Yep.
And so I would give that to Joe. Joe would send it to Peter. Peter and I would connect. And then not like overnight, but over time, there would be value created in Peter's eyes. We become good friends. We can accelerate that through many different ways. Mm-hmm. Breaking bread, having meals, being on podcasts, that sort of stuff. You can accelerate it. And then I'd get to the point where it's like, hey, you know, I could really help Elon with his time management, his productivity. I guarantee I can find 30 minutes in Elon Musk day. That's how I can help Elon. So Peter, when you think it's ready, let's talk about how we can make that introduction to Elon. So, you know, it's 2 steps away from someone at that level. And you can do that exercise. So you have the people on the right-hand side of the page and just back it out. How can you get to them? Adding value at every step.
At every step.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Is Elon someone you want to connect with?
I don't have anything. I mean, I know that I could find 30 minutes in his day.
I know you could, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not like, it would be just a gift to him because I'm not taking anything away from
that. It's
not
a huge priority for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a great example because that's probably one of the hardest to get in touch with people on the planet today.
Yeah.
And you just showed in 3 steps that you could do it.
Yeah, and add value to them.
Yes, you could probably engineer that out in 60 to 90 days, I guess, if not sooner.
Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah.
I would say 60. Yeah, yeah, maybe even a little bit less because I know Joe so well. Mm-hmm. And it's really just, and I know Peter a little bit. He gets my newsletter, all that stuff. So it wouldn't be, it's not, there's nothing cold here except the step to Elon.
Yes.
Now, one other tip there is having such an invaluable skill that you can apply to everybody. Mm-hmm. Like you can go and help, and I've seen how the people that you've helped in your book and, you know, that have given you amazing testimonials and success stories.
Yeah.
You have developed a skill. It's like that Swiss Army knife. Like it's so indispensable. Mm-hmm. And that's what everybody watching needs to have is something that is so indispensable mm-hmm. that it's like a superpower. You can walk into a room and it's like, doesn't matter what room, you know, drop me in any city, anywhere with nothing in my pocket. And I can come out of here, you know, having added value to people.
Yes.
And in a great situation. And so, yes. I mean, it's email marketing is still one that's amazing.
Yeah.
Great public speaking, so much of the stuff that you teach.
So much of it, yeah. And that, and a lot of that really comes down to the person who's listening to this really working on and developing their skills every single day. Like what, like everyone's got to zero in on what, like, and the thing is, skill acquisition is something that no one talks about because in the personal development world, in every, all these personal development books, you get all this great advice about abundance thinking and confidence and getting into state and Tony Robbins stuff, and all that stuff is good, but it's like if I pump you up and make you full of confidence, you still can't do shit. Like what you need skills, what I call high income skills. I learned it from Dan Locke. It's such a good term. And there's only a few high income skills. And if you have these skills, high income skill basically means that if you have it, you will make $10,000 a month or more using this skill for the rest of your life. Like you should never make less than 10 grand. It's not a job. It's not a business. It's a skill. You're trading hours for dollars, but you're trading hours for high dollars. A high income skill could be selling. Selling is a high income skill.
Of course.
Email or copy, high income skill. Speaking, high income skill. Being able to drive traffic, that's a high income skill.
Yeah. Negotiation.
Negotiation, that's a high income skill. Consulting, that's a high income skill. So any of these things, they're all, like in my opinion, anyone who wants to make six figures or seven figures, you need to master one or really all of these skills. Because then basically you can go into any room, Swiss Army knife, and you can help people and add value no matter where you're at.
Yeah, I call this hard versus soft. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people in the info marketing space, they're like, oh, I want to sell, you know, how to make somebody a better person. I want to sell them motivation. That's soft, soft, soft. You have to have a hard offer, which means weight loss, get more sex, make more money. Basically, that's it. Better body, more sex, more money. Those are hard offers generated by hard skills. Mm-hmm. So even being a great personal trainer is a hard skill, provided in you're in the right environment. Mm-hmm. But you have to be coming at things with the hard offer approach to have an analogy to that soft skill, hard skill. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm coaching people who are like trying to start some info products and all they're doing is offering soft skills, yes, they need to be delivered. Motivation, mindset, all that stuff, you know, self-confidence, the pumping up. Mm-hmm. But if you don't lead with a hard skill, or hard offer, you'll never be able to get people in that world. And so that's why, you know, I was for years and years and years selling, here's how to do these short workouts at home, get an amazing body, and then I could give them all the motivation, all that stuff after, but they're not gonna pay for it first.
Yes.
They have to go and get the hard skill first.
Yes, 100%. And I think being measurable is a big part of that hard skill. Like sex, money, weight loss, I can track that. I can count the difference in what's happening there.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So one thing I want to go back to with the networking thing that we were talking about before is this idea of being able to ease someone's pain or help their kids that kind of thing. And that, I think that's such a great saying. How does someone, if Fred wants to get in touch with Joe Billionaire. Is he on a LinkedIn research project? How does he find out so that he knows I actually can add value to this person's life? How do you find out that thing?
Well, you're going to start with two things that are so simple. I mean, almost every person has been on a podcast now.
Yeah.
And so I actually have an allergy to listening to podcasts. So I transcribe everything. I get everything transcribed and I'll just go and read the transcript and I will look for, this is an area where they should have went deeper in the podcast, where that podcaster missed a golden opportunity to ask a question that was hard, uncomfortable, may have made the Joe Billionaire squirm a bit.
Yeah.
That's where the magic is. Yeah. Tim Ferriss is developing a really great skill at this, digging a little bit deeper. And so that is what I would find. And I would that's when I'd start my research around that. Okay, here's the pain. Here's the problem. So you go to the podcast first, you know, go to their books, because I'm sure they're going to have books. They're going to have websites on them. And there's very, very few people that have worked hard enough to keep their lives hidden and secret.
Sure.
So you're going to find something, and it's going to be relatively simple. And if you don't know, then you go and you find someone who's an expert on this person or expert in that area, and you say, what's the pain or the problem that this company, this or this manager, the CEO of this company is having, this celebrity, this billionaire? And you just dig deep, you know, like your own private eye.
Yep.
And you figure something out. But at the same time, you can't go and like say, oh, I noticed that your daughter was dyslexic. You know, I found out through by going through your garbage that your daughter is dyslexic. You're probably not going to lead off with that. You're going to use your common sense and be wise about it. And then anybody can find something, and then you have to go back and reverse engineer, how can I go into this and help that person?
Right, and that initial email or message or whatever, obviously it's gonna be better if we can have someone introduce us to that person. And I literally always say, if you can avoid going cold, avoid it at all costs.
For sure.
And I always say, like, listen, if there's someone who you wanna get in touch with and you could cold email them now, or you could, you know, two people who know them, spend 8 weeks building a relationship with those two people first, and then get the introduction to that middle person. It might take you 8 weeks longer, but it's worth the time. You agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, of course, we know one man who can pretty much destroy all convention and go directly to somebody super high up with a well-written email. And that's our friend Joel Marion.
Mm-hmm.
So Joel Marion recently, I'll tell you what he did recently, and then I'll tell you what he did when we had our first contact on November 3rd, 2008, because I actually shared this email yesterday at the seminar I was teaching at. But recently, Joel, who has a very strong faith, went to a guy named Carl Lentz, who's a pastor at a very big church called Hillsong in New York City. And Joel guessed his email. Basically, you know, it's like, oh, it's at Hillsong.com, so it's either going to be like C. Lentz or, you know, like
Carl.
Whatever, yeah. Like, he just tried a bunch, and he got right directly to this guy. And he wrote an email that was so convincing and persuasive that the guy got back to him. And they really connected because Carl's email reply to him was, I like you. You're the kind of guy who doesn't knock on the door. You just barge down, you know, just break it down if no one answers.
It's a very good description of Joel. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Now you go all the way back to almost 10 years ago when Joel first connected with me. He was still a high school teacher at this time. And I can almost recite the email by memory, because I've told people about it so many times. I talked about it at High Status on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the situation. At that time, I've been online for a long time selling products. I just released a hard copy book, really push it hard up on Amazon.
Yep.
And Joel was like, how can I add value to this guy? So his email essentially went something like this. Hey, Craig, congratulations on the Amazon success of the book. I write for a very large email newsletter list because he was doing like some part-time writing, and then he dropped Jorge Cruz's name. He was huge in the industry. Here's the number of people on our email list. Here's the number of views. Oh, he also mentioned that he was just on a show on satellite Sirius Radio, and he mentioned my name, gave Turbulence Training a plug. I mean, it goes on and on. It's all about Craig Ballantyne.
Yes.
He's not asked for anything. Hey, Craig, we'd love to interview you and pump it out to our million subscribers, promote your book. You know, that was it. It was all about all about the ways that he could help me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, you don't turn that down, obviously. So it was a little longer than I would probably teach most people to write about. But if you know that you can help Joe Billionaire and you know that you can get to him by email, then you got to have a really great subject line. That's email copywriting being that invaluable tool.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to really, really hit hard and quick, because these days, the email needs to be as short as possible while making that impact and having the person go, okay, I'm interested. Let's go to the next step here.
Yeah. And someone like Joel can write a longer email because he's great at email copy.
Yeah, because he can hook you in forever. He could have wrote 5 pages to mail it to everyone.
And the guy would have read the whole thing.
Yeah.
And one thing I want to add is because Joel, even at that time, he had access. It wasn't his I think it was maybe his email list, but it was like another magazine or it was another company's email list.
He was writing for somebody else.
Yes.
But he leveraged it.
you leveraged it. And that's the thing. So if someone's watching right now and they're like, I don't have an email list and I don't even have someone else's email list or following to leverage, well, guess what? You can be the middleman. Why don't you go to the company first and say, hey, I'm going to do all the work, but I'm going to get this guy to feature him. He's going to add value. People will love him. It's going to be great. You don't have to do anything. Can I just get the yes that if I get him, you'll let him do this? And they'll say yes, because it's free value for them.
Yeah.
And now you can go to him and you can say, I have access to 460,000 people on this newsletter list. They want to feature you. What do you want to, like, you can do that.
It's critical credibility, and you can broker it.
Yes.
Exactly like that. I mean, yes. There are so many stories of billionaire entrepreneurs who have done that. Like this guy, Jesse Itzler, who was just speaking at our Empire Mastermind group. He's a good friend of Bedros's. I've met him a couple times. And back in the day, one of Jesse's businesses was Marquee Jets. Mm-hmm. So he somehow got in and had a meeting with the CEO of Marquee Jets, NetJets, which is Warren Buffett's company. And he did this presentation. He didn't own any planes. He had no access to them. And what he was trying to do was get access to the NetJet fleets. He had nothing but an idea. And somehow he finagled this meeting. And he got kicked out after 12 minutes. And he thought it was hopeless. But then a really cool story, the president of the company, not the CEO, but the president of the company chased him down and goes, hey, there's something here. And the guy, and Jesse goes, what do you mean? I just got kicked out. He goes, the CEO never gives anybody 12 minutes. Never. So all you need to do is like figure out how to do this. And the next thing you know, he's like, he got Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez on like a test out of flight. Mm-hmm. And so this is the mindset that Jesse Itzler has. He's in New York City, hears that Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez are getting on a flight in LA. He drops everything, rushes to the airport, gets on a flight. He's wearing shorts. He gets to LA. They're flying to Utah for Sundance Film Festival where it's cold. Mm-hmm. He shows up in shorts, but he was on the plane with them trying to make the deal work. And he's patching things together, mm-hmm. just like the example that you used. And that's what really successful people do.
Yeah.
As Bedros says, if you don't have resources, become resourceful.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always a way to make the connection, leverage, broker. I mean, that's what I just love, scrappy people who are able to do that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're always going to bet on them.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, because when you say that, I'm reminded of being back at Dan Pena's in Scotland and at the seminar. And I'll never forget it, because we're sitting there in the seminar, Dan's screaming at everyone like he does. And he had telling to this kid who's sitting next to me, younger kid, even younger than me. And the kid, Dan was saying, you need to do this for your business, this, this, and this. And the kid, they're great ideas, but the kid is like, well, I don't know this person. I can't get the funding for that. I don't know how I could do that. And he's like, I don't have the money for it. And Dan goes, isn't it funny? It's all those people who say, I don't have the money, never have the money. The kid freaks out. And then he goes, you know what? He goes, you know what your problem is? It's not resources, it's resourcefulness. And he yelled it, and he's smacks his hand, like the whole room shook basically. But it came in such a hard charge that it just went right in. I'll never forget. He goes, your problem isn't resources, it's resourcefulness. And I think that's always the stumbling block, the obstacle, the objection, the excuse that people have is that I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money, I don't know enough people, I don't have a list, I don't have connections, I don't have this, I don't have that. And that shit doesn't matter. Because if you don't have it, listen, if you're saying that, then your problem is, of course, is it's not resources. It's you're not being resourceful. If you were being resourceful, you wouldn't need those things, because you could, like you said with Jesse, broker it around. You can make it happen with someone else's.
Yeah, and Jesse has so many amazing stories like this. And one of his first successes in life was he's a white Jewish kid who's a rapper from Long Island, you know, back in the day. He's older than I am. And the only time he could get studio airtime was at 2:30 in the morning. His day job is a kiddie pool lifeguard, and he bikes 22 miles on the Long Island Expressway, which sounds like there's not a lot of bicycles on the Long Island Expressway, but he's biking at 12 at night because he gets done at the kiddie pool, he goes home for a bit, maybe he sleeps, bikes from 12 till 1 or 2 because it's 22 miles to get to the recording studio in Brooklyn or something, mm-hmm. records for 4 or 5 hours, goes to the kiddie pool, bikes to the kiddie pool. Like, that is a guy hell-bent on success.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's a long, extreme way to go. But if you aren't at least willing to do half of that, three-quarters of that, man, nothing's going to come through for somebody.
Nothing's going to work. I'm curious, who is the, what would you label that quality? Like, what's the word that comes to mind to describe someone like that for you?
Relentless.
Relentless.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who is the most relentless entrepreneur that Craig Ballantyne has ever met?
I would say one of my mentors, probably Mark Ford. You know, this guy's probably worth $100 million. Mm-hmm. And very much like Jesse, he's a Long Island kid, poor as all get out. And it's just like, even when he was a teenager, he was resourceful. He was, you know, he has these great stories of not just being resourceful and making money, but the type of person who's resourceful and getting, you know, behind closed doors and being, you know, getting behind backstage and all that stuff. So I would definitely say him. And then he used that, you know, he started a pool company and was doing in-ground pools and he was making so much money. And then he just was like, oh, but there's still not enough. And he was like to the next level and he's figuring out how to do rental apartments and all. He's just so resourceful in figuring out where the next level was. And it's just like, it's that hard knocks life, that scrappy upbringing that often breeds that, I think.
Yeah, 100%. Well, it's always interesting to me because two people can grow up in that environment and one of them comes out with this belief that I have to make it, I have to make good because I didn't start good. And other people say, I'm never going to be good because I didn't start good. It's the same scenario and we take two different stories from it. It's always interesting to me about that.
I know. And it's absolutely amazing how also some of those most resourceful entrepreneurs never really seem to do the work in the business. They're always smart enough to know that, hey, everybody, everything is a resource for me to use, to utilize, to grow my business. And I think that's an incredible, incredible lesson for people that, yes, you have to build those high value, high income skills, but it doesn't mean you have to be using them one-on-one, day-to-day. You can't get stuck in the weeds. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, your business will never grow into empire status. So that's another thing. It's like, understand that everyone in a positive way is a resource for you to utilize for their benefit, for your benefit, so that you know you grow a company with 100 salespeople who are doing the selling for you, and you have to do that replication, which is another measure of resourcefulness.
Yes, 100%. Replication, going from one-to-one to one-to-many, a lot of different ways to keep leveraging those skills. What about, this just comes to my mind, what about, so you connect with someone, you build a relationship with them, but you're not going to see them in person for 6 months. What do you do to keep up, to stay on their radar, to keep it warm? Is there anything that you do in particular to keep that thing fresh?
Man, you stumped me. No, you didn't. Absolutely. There's a million things. And the great thing, and this is an awesome exercise for introverts as well, is video messaging. Mm-hmm. Video messaging. And so I challenged everybody at High Status who felt like they were an introvert to only send video Instagram direct messages. You can no longer text it to somebody. You have to do the video messages. And so that's what I do. First of all, it's always video. I try and stay, you know, because, you know, just seeing the face, good tonality, great message. That's one way. Thank you cards, sending out books. I just found this new book. It's about Nick Saban in Alabama that I've been sending out to everybody. I just sent a copy to Sharon. Did I send a copy to you?
You did, yeah.
Yes. It's like fourth and goal, Alabama's pursuit of perfection. Now, Nick Saban is a resourceful man. I mean, that's the kind of guy, and that's why I knew it would so connect with you. So it's books, thank you cards, sometimes letters, the video messages, video texts, everything where you just staying on the radar, and introductions.
Yeah.
How can I keep introducing, adding value?
So when you're out there, because you're always networking, meeting people, when you meet someone new, does it go through your head, who can I introduce them to now that I know they can add value to?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, as I'm sitting there, I'm like, I'm always saying, I wish this person was here right now, because I can't properly describe how excited I am for when they're going to meet.
Yeah.
Which is why at my event last year, so my Perfect Life Retreat, we did something that no one's ever done in another event. We pre-introduced every single attendee to three people they had never met before. Mm. So I went through, it just took me 12 hours, but it was a labor of love because it was my favorite part. And as I'm like putting, you know, like Jason needs to meet Sharon, because when those two guys meet, oh my gosh, it's going to be massive value. Yeah. And there were so many times I would just start smiling because I just can't wait until Jay meets Shanda and, you know, Sherry meets John. It was just so awesome. And so I did that. And I wrote down, you know, you need to meet these three people. And I wrote down a reason why beside each, so it wasn't just a cold intro.
Yep.
So I'm always doing that. It's just like my brain defaults to that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not sure if it's just because I want to be liked or if it's, you know, altruistic, but I do that. That's all I can think of. Even when I'm reading somebody's article or you know, listening or not listening, but, you know, checking out Jay Faruja's podcast, I'm like, oh, I would love to introduce him to this person, this person, this person. And so I just do it.
Yeah. And it will, it's a lot of things, but you're adding value. That's all. You're just continuing to keep adding value. You're giving, you're not taking.
Yeah. It's like my golf. It's a game to me. It's like, how many connections can I make? How many people can I add to my print newsletter list, which is where all my VIP connections get that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking, how can I connect all these people? And the result of that is that now I can be dropped into almost any major city in the entire world, and I have three or four people that I can hang out with, which is so much fun. It's so awesome. Well, I can go and fill up my events in Cape Town. I'm going there for the first time this summer, and I've got tons of people coming to
That's
it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really great. You know, three events. I've actually thought I'd do one in London. I know that I'm going to do three in a row, sold out, because there's so many people, first of all, in London, but second of all, just from the surrounding area, who are going to meet me there. And it's just that power of networking, and it's so darn cool.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that it's like compound interest, isn't it? It exponential over time, right?
It's a long game, and it compounds annually. You know,
yes.
If, as what I said at the start of this interview, we were talking about how my social circle feels like it's doubling every year. Now, if it doubles every year, then obviously that is going to be exponential growth.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of like the one penny every day?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that story. I remember that story being told to me when I was 10 years old, and it was like one of the first money lessons that really stuck in my head. And so for people who have never heard it, it goes like this. Something like this. Would you rather be paid a penny on day one and then double that every day for the rest of the month? Or would you rather be paid like $1 million? And most people say $1 million, right? But if you take a penny and you double it and you keep on doubling it every single day, by the end, it's like it's well over $1 million every yep. single day for the last 5 days of the month that you're getting paid.
Yep.
And so it's really, really powerful for people to understand that compounding effect.
And that's what's happening with networking.
Absolutely.
And that's why maybe 4 years ago, if you're doing workshops, you might sell out one in London, but now because it keeps growing and it keeps multiplying, it's like a virus, a good virus.
But yeah,
virus.
I'm almost like extending yeah. my stay in London for like an entire month because there's so many people that want to come to the event.
Take your workshop, yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right, so.
I remember where I started was at like with nothing.
Yeah, and I just want everyone to understand that's not hyperbole, that is pretty much fact.
Right, I mean. Poor, broke, farm boy from a small town. I mean,
who didn't like socializing?
Right.
I think that's probably the biggest. You did not like socializing.
I would go to seminars. Yeah. Did I tell you this story about the elevators?
I probably know. Yeah.
Okay. So I would go to a seminar and request a hotel room on a low floor so I could take the stairs instead of being in an elevator with strangers.
Yes.
That's how low I was starting.
Yes.
But able to grow it and grow myself at the same time because. As you do something successfully, it all becomes so much easier. And you know, I look back and go, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. Yeah. But it was valuable lessons.
Yeah.
And now and able to show everybody what they can do.
100%. Yeah. So we've covered a lot here. I've covered a lot about how to network with high status people.
I know. We've covered so much that even with my high status voice, my throat is getting tired.
Is it?
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm glad we're on the last question then.
Right.
All right. So here is my last question because we have talked so much about networking and connecting and things like that. I want to know who is the one person that Craig Ballantyne wants to connect with but hasn't yet?
It's a tough question, and I don't actually know the name of the person, but the person that I'm looking for, and I sometimes say Tony Robbins, even though we have kind of connected, it's somebody in that organization or some similar organization that has scaled a large coaching business and able to help so many people. And you know, Tony's is obviously one of the biggest in the world, and I want to take my workshops to the world because what I have is so valuable for so many people, anybody that wants to be a high performer. And I want to help people become that high performer. I want to help them become more successful. I want to help them own their days, control their life. And I need to replicate myself through the resources of great coaches. Mm-hmm. I just need somebody to help me with the strategy of formulating the company. So that is the person I'm looking for. I don't know their name, but I know I'm going to find them soon.
You will. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
What about you?
I'm going to put that in my head because I actually might have something for you right now when we get off. Who do I want to connect with that I haven't with yet? That is a really good question.
I will share one that's fun. Yeah.
Okay, please.
That I still haven't figured out. Oh, actually, I do know what value I can offer this person because they suffer with anxiety. And I have a friend who's in a car club with this person. You know who this person is.
Okay.
Who do we go and see in Vegas?
Oh, dude, I'm totally
Deadmau5.
Blanking on it. Yes.
Joel Zimmerman. And yes. And I have friends who are in a high-end car club with him in Toronto. But Joel often talks about Joel Zimmerman. I'll just call him by his first name now. He often talks about, you know, anxiety or depression. And obviously, I've dealt with that. And I know exactly how I can help him.
Yes.
So that is, like, on a fun level, that's the person
Deadmau5
that I want to connect with. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I still remember the little Deadmau5.
Oh, yeah. I had them all. I still have them all. I was like, so he used to have these figurines, and I bought, like, 100 of them. And I lost them for a couple years because I moved a couple times, and I finally found the box with all of them in there.
I'm very glad you found them. Yeah.
Yes, I am as well. I actually have a pair of Deadmau5 Pumas that I've never worn that I bought like 10 years ago too. So they might be worth something on eBay, but they're also really great shoes that I just can't bear to wear.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Do you still have the Deadmau5 bumper sticker on the laptop?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I have a 5 a.m. club one for Sharon, but I don't think they have Deadmau5.
Sharon, Deadmau5. I mean,
yeah, I know.
Come on.
Did you come up with somebody yet?
Yeah, I was thinking with half my brain trying to figure out because you stumped me with that question. Yeah. One of the names that I came up with for some reason is Phil Jackson. That is a guy I would love to connect with and learn from.
You know, what's funny is I was going to say Kobe, you know, because you used to live down the street from him.
Yeah.
It's like you just one-upped me by saying not the student, but the master.
The master, Phil Jackson. Yeah, that would be a good one. Yeah. So if anyone out there has a connection to Phil,
very good. That,
and also Deadmau5 or someone to scale a coaching program.
Right, there you go.
All right, let's put it out into the universe. Yeah.
And you know what? When you put that stuff out to the universe, it comes to you, so true, because that's what I put out to the universe when I got my first coach, Tom Venuto, and he said, what do you want your business to look like? And I said, I want to own a business like Early to Rise in 5 years, and I bought it 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days later. So you get what you put out.
100%.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Craig Ballantyne, once again for an amazing interview. I really love the fact that when we do these, there is such practical, tactical information that
you
share.
That's all I do.
Yeah.
It's all I do.
It's awesome. So if you don't have 5 pages of notes already based on what you just heard, you were not listening correctly. I suggest you go back and you listen to it again, this time with your ears fully open.
And transcribe it. As I would.
Well, that would see what Craig would do is he would transcribe this, and then you'd be able.
Then you'd have 30 pages of notes automatically.
There you go, and you've paper to take notes on also, as long as you print it out as well. Either way, now we're rambling. That's the end of this interview discussion, open format, whatever the hell you want to call it. I'm Jason Capital. This is Craig Ballantyne, and we will see you guys very soon.
Wow, what a show! That was so cool to hang around Jason at his offices and go back and forth, toe to toe. Man, this kid is full of amazing information. So listen, we could have kept on going and going and going, but we actually had to go and meet Jason's girlfriend for dinner back at his amazing mansion overlooking the waterfront down in beautiful Corona Del Mar, California. Maybe we will film our next show there. It's really, really cool. So until then, let me know what you think of today's show and head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star ranking. And don't forget what we revealed in today's episode about growing your network and playing up a level in life. And that's what Jason has been doing since he and I first met almost 10 years ago. And what he's been doing faster than ever in the last year since he went through my Perfect Life workshop. And as Jason says, with Craig Ballantyne's coaching, you can create your perfect days and have total work-life mastery. And that's why you need me as your coach, to walk you through a proven step-by-step blueprint for success and to get my accountability, my coaching and accountability that I give to my clients like Jason and the billion-dollar real estate man, Sharon Srivatsa, and my client, Super Bowl champion, Steve Weatherford, and 8-figure female business owners like Shanda Sumter and Isabel de los Rios, along with thousands of other entrepreneurs in dozens of industries. So let's get you started on your coaching journey and give you the accountability you need to play up a level in life. Just visit perfectlifeworkshop.com to apply to work with me at my next coaching event near you.